we have got something very special for you this morning, a little bit different. We're going to be covering the verse in our study on 1 Timothy. We've come to the verse now this morning in 1 Timothy 4:12 that Paul told Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." And so he said, don't let them despise you just because you're young. This morning, I thought it might be neat for you to be able to hear from a few of our young men in our youth group that have a desire to serve the Lord in full-time ministry. And so this morning, the first one that's going to just take a minute and just share with you his heart is someone that I know pretty well. My middle son here, this is Clayton Proctor. Clayton, go ahead and share your testimony.
All right, thanks, Dad. So I am the pastor's son, and he's been here for a while, and so I've been here for a while. I'm 18 years old, senior in high school, so I've been here my whole life, and I tell you, it's like a second home for me. My church, growing up here, it's just been awesome. And, I got saved when I was 3 years old, but around seven, I surrendered to go into full-time ministry. And I just had that desire to share God's word with other people. And I wanted to do that for as my life's work. I wanted to do that for as long as I could. And so that was my desire as long as I can remember. And to this day, that still wants to be my desire, is to just preach the word.
Amen.
Sometimes people ask me, what part of the ministry would you like to be in? Pastor, youth pastor, children's pastor, and I don't really know. I like it all. I want to be in the ministry and I want to serve. And whatever that entails, whether I'm here, senior pastor at a church or a youth pastor, or just being on like a missionary team. Lately we've been doing some stuff here at our church about missions work, and as a team or as a group going to other countries in spring. That's exciting. I mean, that's just exciting. And that would be so cool to be able to go with a bunch of other young guys and be able to go to another country and just plant churches. So that's my desire. And right now I'm involved in different ministries here at our church, children's ministry, bus ministry, as you saw, the bass, music, different ministries that I'm involved in. But my goal, my long-term desire is just to spread God's word. And a prayer request, I was asked to share a prayer request with you guys, and the one for me would be this. Satan doesn't want me, and doesn't want the rest of these young guys here, they're going to be sharing, to spread the word. He doesn't want us to be on fire. He doesn't want us to have that desire in our heart to spread God's word, and he's going to try his best to extinguish that fire, to put out that flame. And he's going to throw those darts at us. He's going to send us temptations. But, it says in 1 Peter 5, he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour us. But the key is standing on God's word. Just like Jesus was tempted by Satan, Jesus three times was tempted, and each time, what did he say to Satan? God's word. That's what he continually used to fend off Satan. So my prayer request would be, if you could pray for me, just to stand firmly rooted and grounded in God's word.
Hey.
So that when those temptations come from Satan, I depend on God's word to direct my path.
Amen. So, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for letting me share.
Clayton, why don't you lead us in prayer, okay?
All right, let's bow our heads and pray today. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this church that we have, Lord, to come and worship you, and being able to grow up here, Lord, has just been so awesome. And Lord, I pray along with so many other people here, Lord, that one day I would be able to just either be a pastor or a missionary, some facet of the ministry, Lord, that I would be able to use my life to spread your gospel, Lord, and spread the word of God to those who've never heard it before, Lord. And Lord, just use me in a mighty way, and use these other young guys, Lord, today. And I just pray for the message today, Lord, that we'll be able to understand it and learn from it today, Lord. And I thank you again, Lord, for this church. In Jesus' name I pray.
Hallelujah. You can be seated. Brother Frank, I'm going to have Frank come up now. Another one of our young men who have a desire for ministry. Frank, share your testimony with us, brother.
Hello, I am Frank. I just said my name. I'm 16 years old, and I'm in the 10th grade. You know, I'm homeschooled too, and I haven't always been homeschooled. I used to go to a public school, and I was taught, you know, like evolution and the Big Bang and, you know, stuff like that. But I never really believed it. I don't know why, because normally when you have, like, little kids and stuff, they believe the first thing they hear. And I don't know, it just never made sense to me. And then when I started coming to Crossroads and I heard Pastor Dan's first message about Jesus and, you know, God, it clicked. It made total sense. It made so much more sense than, like, evolution and that stuff to me. And I thank God for that. I thank God for this church. I thank God for the experiences that I've had at this church. Because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be up here. And God's really blessed me and allowed me to be up here and just point me in the right directions. I want to be an outreach pastor when I grow up. And that's a pastor that doesn't, like, stand behind a podium on Sundays or Wednesdays. But it's a pastor who's out in the world and does stuff in the community more than in a church. It's kind of like a Walk Through Bethlehem is. And something I would just like you guys to pray for is my future, and not just my future, the future of all our young people in the church, because they're the new generation that's going to be preaching Christ. We got to make sure they're what does that Bible verse say? We train up a child in the way they should go.
Amen.
That's it. So yeah, just pray for my future. Pray that God opens up plenty of doors for me, and just pray that a big work is done in our world through our youth.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that great, church? Amen. Good testimony, Frank. It's awesome. AJ, we're going to hear from another one of our young men who have a desire for ministry and is our youth group, and that's AJ Nipper. AJ.
Good morning, everybody. I'm AJ Nipper, and I am 16 years old and a junior at Seabreeze High School. My family and I have been attending Crossroads for 3 years now, and I can honestly say that's been the best 3 years of my life, getting just solid Bible teaching and just growing in the truth of God's Word. But probably the seed of ministry was planted in me a couple years ago at a youth camp that we had for our youth group. And I was talking to Pastor Rob, our youth pastor, about just what I wanted to do in the future. And I remember talking to him that I had always thought that I would be a doctor because my dad's a doctor, and I just thought that's what I would grow up to be. And I remember him telling me that, yes, this world is always in need of physical doctors, but how much greater it could be for you to be used as a spiritual doctor and a spiritual healer in this world. And I really want the Lord just to use my life to impact souls in eternity and not just this world. So something that I would really like you guys to pray for me is just to have my eyes set on Christ and to truly be focused on Him and not lose that focus. I think of that song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." And I just thank you guys for that.
Amen. Thank you, AJ. Awesome, brother. Thank you. So let's do this. I want to hear from just a couple more of our guys that are in the youth group that have a heart to go into ministry. And so I'm going to ask Adam Levy if he would come and if he would share his testimony at this time. Adam?
Old, and I've been coming to Crossroads since I was born, so it's been quite a while, but I've grown up in this church, and I got saved when I was 3 years old, and ever since I was a little boy in this church, I always wanted to serve the Lord with my life somehow, and as I got older, I surrendered to be in full-time ministry, and Caleb and I, when we were little, we used to talk about growing up and going overseas and planting churches in other countries. And that's something we've always wanted to do together, or whether it be if I go overseas and plant churches, if that's what God wants me to do, or if I become a full-time pastor here in the States, I just want to be used by God. And some of the ministries that I serve in right now are singing in the choir. I help teach a three-year-old class next door. I'm involved in Walk Through Bethlehem since the very first time we did it. VBS, I run the PowerPoint sometimes. So, I mean, wherever I can be used by God, it's awesome. So I'm going to ask you guys if you pray for me to just grow in my Bible reading and my prayer life each and every day and just constantly draw closer to Christ and grow my relationship with him. And if you'd also pray that I could keep my focus on Christ and not get distracted by the things of this world and just continue to focus on my ultimate goal of seeing souls saved. Thank you.
Amen. Isn't that great? Thanks, Adam. That was awesome, brother. Awesome. All right, we got one more. Come here, young man. I think I know this young man. This is another one of my boys. This is Caleb, our youngest. He's our baby. Doesn't he look like a baby? And actually, we got another baby now, don't we? Yeah. He's getting to be Uncle Caleb now. But I'm proud of this young man, just as I am Clayton, who testified at the beginning. And so, Caleb, share your heart with us right now.
As he said, my name is Caleb Proctor. I'm sure most of you guys know me. You've seen me growing up since I've been a little squirt, and now I'm hopefully not a little squirt anymore, but I've been here my whole 16 years. I've loved being in the church, and for those of you who know me, I love kids, and I love serving with kids. So right now, I serve in Kid Zone. It's the first to fifth grade class. I love doing that. I serve on the bus. I love being with those kids on the bus, those kids that don't have much that I can help out. I love doing that. I sing in the choir. I help out with VBS. I help out with a lot of stuff with kids. I love doing that. But when I was a little kid, I used always sat right in front, right there. Me and Adam would always sit there. He's still here, good. We'd always sit there together every single service, and we'd always say that we wanted to be missionaries together. We'd always say that. When we were 5 years old, we wanted to be missionaries together. And I was five, and some people might think, he doesn't know what he's saying, but I'm 16 now, and I still have that same exact passion that I had when I was 5 years old. So some things, people, when you're an older person, you can look down on those kids, think they don't know what they're doing. But they do. They have a passion, and I still have that passion now. I want to go. I don't know where it is. I don't know yet, but I'm going to go anywhere that God wants me to go and anywhere that I know people don't know about Jesus Christ. Now, I can be an impact on them, and I can see those people come to know Jesus and ask them to hit their heart, and they can go to heaven with me when I die. That's just my goal in life, is to see as many people that aren't saved to come to know Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. We're not here just to live our life and die and go to heaven. We're here to see others go to heaven with us. We're here to influence others and impact them because we don't know how long we're going to have. Our days, we can't say, oh, I'm going to live till I'm 100 years old. No one knows that. You could die today, tomorrow, any day. So live every day you have like it's your last day because you don't know how many days you have left. So, I just want you guys to pray for me that I can keep my fire and I can keep my zeal for Jesus Christ and that I can just grow in knowledge of the Bible and read it every single day. And just because the Bible is going to be what I'm using the most in the missions field. That's the only thing that's going to impact others. It's not going to be my words. It's the Bible. And I just need to learn that and get it in my brain so that when I'm over there, I can be telling all these people the Bible. And just pray for me to do that, and thank you guys so much.
Amen. Love you, buddy. Love you. Proud of you. Well, I tell you, I don't know about you, but it's refreshing to see young people with a heart for God, isn't it? Amen. It's just so refreshing. As I mentioned, I want you to take your Bible and turn to that verse that I mentioned earlier, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. And if you need a handout, our ushers will be glad to give you one. If we missed you on the way in, just lift your hand up and they'll be glad to give you one. 1 Timothy 4:12. Look at it with me. It says, "Let no man despise thy youth." Can you all say that with me? Let no man despise thy youth. Can I ask a personal question today? How many of you are young today? Raise your hand if you're young. Wow. You know what I just learned? Young is a relative term, amen? I guess it's who you're comparing yourself with, right? I was one of our ushers today, Harry Talent. Hey, Harry, how you doing, buddy? He just finished up there ushering and doing a good job back there. And I was visiting Harriet Ibe, who's a member of our church. She's in a nursing home. She's 100 years old this year, and she turns 100. And I was visiting Harriet, and while I was visiting her, Harry came in. Harry came to visit Harriet. Harry's 89, right, Harry? 90. He's 90 and was going to visit Harriet. I told the early service, I said, you're the Jack LaLanne of Crossroads. Y'all know who Jack LaLanne is? He's the Jack LaLanne of Crossroads. He's amazing. Works out every day. Harry, you're in better shape than I am, buddy. And so, you know, when we talk about let no man despise thy youth, well, how do we know if we're young? You know, how do we know if we're old? Well, I don't know, but they say that you know you're getting old when you actually look forward to a dull evening at home. I qualify for that. Yeah, I do. You know you're getting old when your mind makes commitments that your body cannot keep. You know you're getting old when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You know you're getting old when you sink your teeth into a big juicy steak and they stay there. You know you're getting old when you dim the lights for economic reasons rather than romantic ones. You know you're getting old when you've owned clothes so long that they come back into style twice. And you know you're getting old when you quit trying to hold your stomach in no matter who walks in the room. So anyway, that's how you know you're getting old. How many young people do I have? Say amen, huh? Amen. It's all relative, right? Well, he said, let no man despise thy youth. Timothy obviously was a young man, wasn't he? And so he's writing to Timothy because Paul had left Timothy in the city of Ephesus there to represent Paul in his apostolic ministry. Now, there must have been some resistance from inside the church because of Timothy's youthful age. And so he tells Timothy, he encourages him, and he says, look, don't let anybody despise thy youth. You know, just because you're young, don't let them discount you. And, you know, I'm sure that was encouraging to young Timothy. And I know when I became pastor, I was 27, and people said I looked 18. And I can remember how paranoid I was because habitually it would be like, you know, people, I'd see them out there. You know, we're a small church back then. We only used the ground floor here, and we had one service. So I could see everybody, and I could see someone like tap a member and say, now, who's the pastor up there? And then the member would point to me, and they would go, he's the pastor. And I could read their lips, you know, he's the pastor. And I was so paranoid. And so when I was young like that, I wanted to look old. Well, guess what? Now I'm a grandpa. Now I want to look young. What's up with this, Brian? You know, when you're young, you want to look old. When you're old, you want to look young. But he told Timothy, he said, don't let them despise thy youth. Now, the word despise means to think against. We should never be guilty of judging somebody based on their age. There are people that I know, they're not going to allow anybody to tell them anything that's younger than them. They're not going to allow anybody to teach them anything from the Bible if they're younger than them. And that's very, very sad, because godly wisdom and godly living does not necessarily have anything to do with age. Godly living, okay, and godly wisdom has to do with your yieldedness and your submission to Jesus Christ, which is what we just sung about. Lord, take my life and let it be what you want it to be. That's where wisdom begins, is that yieldedness and that submission to Christ. Godly wisdom doesn't come from your physical age. Now, I understand that you learn things just by virtue of being around here for a while on the earth. You learn things as you get older, and I get that. But true godly wisdom comes from Christ, and it comes from his word. You know, there's a couple verses. Look at the screen. The Bible says, in whom? The whom is Christ. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then this verse, next chapter, says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So you see, godly wisdom comes from Christ, and it comes from his word. There are older believers that I know, they say they've been saved 50 years, and they're still making bad decisions. They're still making bad choice after bad choice. And they say they've been saved 50, 60 years, and they're still making unwise choices. They don't evidence any spiritual wisdom whatsoever. And then I know young people, on the other hand, that make very good decisions. And I know young people that evidence great spiritual maturity in their life. So he said, look, don't let anybody despise thy youth. Don't let them ever just discount you because of your age, Timothy. Let no man despise, think against your youth. But, look at the verse, verse 12, look at it. Everybody look at it. Let no man despise thy youth. What's the next word? But be thou an what? An example of the believers. Yeah, okay, hold on. There's a balance here. Don't let anybody despise you because you're young, Timothy. But on the other hand, Timothy, if you want people to not despise your youth, and listen, you've got to be the right kind of example. You have to handle yourself, and you have to display yourself as a mature believer. It'd be useless to go around trying to demand respect. He's got to earn it. And the same is true of all of us. The Bible says we need to be an example of the believers. Because like I said, we're young to someone else. You know, youth is being young or old or what, that's relative, you know. And so all of us can be a godly role model to somebody else that's younger than us. We can all do that. All of us in here can be a godly role model. How many of you would agree that old people can be role models, but do you agree that young people can be role models to us sometimes, can't they? Gary, you do Young at Heart. These young guys really challenge your heart, don't they, huh? They're an example to you many times. And so that's what God wants. Young or old, doesn't make any difference. You've got influence over somebody. And so God wants you to provide a godly role model, to be an example. Well, how can we do that? Look at the verse, verse 12. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. He's going to give you six areas. I'm only going to cover three today. But notice the first one is, he said, be an example in what? Word. I want you to write this in your handout. That's number one. Is this, if you want to be an example, if you want to be a godly role model, number one, use gracious words. Paul told Timothy, he said, be thou an example of the believers in word. You know, our words are very, very powerful. I said our words are very powerful, amen? In fact, the Bible says this in Proverbs 18:21. It says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now I want you to let that sink in a second. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's like a knife. The Bible compares your tongue to a sword, a knife. Can a knife be used for destruction? Stab somebody, kill them, hurt them, cut them, slice them, dice them. You can take a knife and hurt somebody real bad. But would you agree with me that a knife can be used for constructive purposes, not just destructive? A knife can be used to cut up food for a great meal. A knife could be used to take a piece of wood and make it into something beautiful to give somebody. A knife can be used to cut out a cancerous tumor out of somebody. A knife can be used for destruction or construction. And the same thing is true of that sword in your mouth called your tongue. It can be used for constructive purposes or destructive. Your words have the ability to tear down and destroy or to build up and give life. Your words have that ability to either tear people down, destroy them, beat them down, or your words have the ability to build up people, to give life. Let me ask you a question. Are your words a wellspring of life? The Bible says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, Proverbs 15:4. Do your words, are they a wellspring of life? Are your words a wellspring? I mean, just life comes forth from them. I mean, when you speak, it's as if you're providing life and strength and vitality to those around you, your spouse, your children, your fellow workers, your friends, fellow believers. Hey, are your words a wellspring of life? Do they breathe life to people? Put your words to the grace test. You say, what's the grace test? Look in your handout at Ephesians 4:29. Look at this verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. So your communication should be good to the use of edifying, building up people. That it may minister, boy, that's a good word, y'all to underline it. Your word should minister what? Grace. Grace unto the hearers. Do your words minister grace? Are you an example of the believers in word? You know, Paul talked about striving over words that have no profit. But then he also talked about being nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. And so our words can either be grievous or they can be gracious. One or the other, grievous or gracious. You know, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Some people know just what to say to just make your day. Other people know just the word to say to stir up grief. You know, just to make you sad, just to cut you, just to dice you and slice you. They know just what to say to hurt you. Other people know just what to say to help you. And it's amazing, you know. And again, it has to do with Christ and your relationship with Him. And remember, wisdom comes from Christ. Wisdom comes from your walk with Christ. And so, what about our words? You know, think about it. What if a microphone, what if there was a hidden mic on you for a week? And what if you had to go back and listen to all your words from the previous week? Every word you spoke from the previous week. How many of those words were gracious? How many of those words gave life to people? How many of those words edified and built up people? How many of those words, though, were destructive and they tore down and they discouraged people and they just weren't kind? You know, in Luke chapter 4, I was reading in my devotions, and I was reading that chapter, and something really popped out at me, and that is that there were two observations that people made about the words of Jesus Christ. The first observation was in Luke 4:22, where the Bible says that they wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth. That's our Savior they're talking about. They wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth. Then I read 10 verses later where the Bible says they were astonished that His word was with power. So I thought, wow, what a balance there. You see the balance? Jesus was truthful and confident when He spoke, but yet He was gracious. The Bible says He was full of grace and truth. In the same way, Paul told believers that we are to speak the truth in love. You want to be an example of the believers? Use gracious words. By the way, would y'all agree with me that when young people do this, they really stand out, don't they? When young people speak gracious words, they stand out. You know why they stand out? Because so many young people today speak perversely, don't they? So many young people curse and they swear and they talk filthy and they talk nasty and they have rebellious words and they speak words that are just arrogant and rebellious and unkind, or cursing and swearing and just dirty, filthy talk. You get a young person like a Timothy like this, who is an example of the believers in word, they use gracious words. Boy, I tell you what, it really, really does stand out. There's a second thing, though. Number two in your handout, the second way that we can be a role model is number two, to seek to maintain a holy life. That's the second thought here. Seek to maintain a holy life. I want you to go back to verse 12, all right? Look at it with me. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word. And then what's the next thing? In what? Conversation. Now we think of that as, oh, yesterday I had a conversation with Brian. you know, and we think of it that way. I had a conversation with him. That's not what that's talking about. It's an old English word that actually encompasses a person's entire behavior. It's not just your spoken words. He already covered that with that first word. Now he's going to go even deeper. He's going to broaden it. He says, yes, you need to be an example with your spoken word, but I'm going to broaden this, and not only do you need to be an example in word, but in your actions and in your behavior. The way that you present yourself needs to be right, needs to be an example. We need holy behavior. Look in your handout at 1 Peter 1:15. The Bible says there, but as he which hath called you, that's God, he which hath called you is holy. Now, would you guys, let's just stop there. Is God holy? Yeah, he's holy. Well, how does that affect me? He's my father. So look at the verse. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy when you are at church. Isn't that what it said? Wait a minute. Did I just corrupt that verse? I guess I did. I read that wrong. Man, I don't read good with my glasses. Let me take them off. Here we go. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in what? All. A-double-L. All manner of conversation. That means every area of your life is what that means. Be holy in every area of your life. All. Now, you know what the temptation is, church? We compartmentalize, don't we? We've got one personality and persona at church. We've got another one at work. We got another one at school. We're another person over here at college. We act like another. We've got another kind of persona that people know us as on the ball team. We've got another one over here when we are in the neighborhood. We've got another one when we're out with the guys. You know, we've got a whole different and what that creates is what we call a lack of integrity. Our life does not reflect wholeness and soundness. Our behavior, he said, should reflect our Savior's holiness. Not some of the time, not just when you're at church, all of the time. We should consistently, I should be the same person at home as I am here. Same person. You know what I'm saying? I should be the same person here as I am at home. You know? And you know, that I should be the same person at the restaurant that I am here. Isn't that somehow we can come to church and go, hey, brother, good to see you, brother. Man, I love you, brother. And then we can go and be mean and nasty to the waitress. Leave church. You know what's the shame of it? I had a lot of waitresses tell me through the years, yeah, we can't stand working Sundays because that's when the church people are there. Oh, really? Why? They're just mean. No, they weren't talking about our church, obviously. They're talking in general terms. Right? No, I mean that. I don't want to act like they're talking about our church. They're talking, you know, just through the years I've talked to them. I'm talking about in general terms, because, you know, all denominations, people that go to church, they tend to go out and eat after church a lot, and they say, oh, I hate working Sundays. It's just the church people are so mean. They don't tip. They're just hateful, you know. They complain. They run you to death. And then don't leave much tip. You know, all I'm trying to say is that you can't compartmentalize and say, well, I'm going to be holy at church, but then be another way at work, and be another way out here in the community, and be another way, be a bad neighbor to your neighbor in your neighborhood, or come over here and, you know, go to work and be known as just mean and not carrying your weight at work. No, he says, be holy in all manner of conversation. Timothy, be an example of the believers. In your words, use gracious words, but then be an example in your everyday behavior and actions. You know, a great verse, look in your handout if you'll flip it over, a great verse that will help us to exemplify consistency and integrity in every area of our life is right there at the top of your handout. It says, Paul said, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. Well, what was that, Paul? Notice that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you, Lord. You know what he said? A simple, sincere, godly life motivated by his grace. I'm not trying to impress somebody. I'm not trying to fool somebody. Just a simple life motivated by his grace, motivated from Christ within me. That will allow you to be an example of the believers. Hey, listen, if somebody from work shows up at church, one of your coworkers, or if somebody from your school where you go to would show up here and you didn't know they were coming, or if a neighbor showed up, or somebody from a restaurant, somebody that you know in town that doesn't really go to church, if they were to show up and they sat across from the aisle from you and they saw you worshiping God, it shouldn't surprise them. It shouldn't surprise them. It shouldn't be that they should look over, see you worshiping God, and their attitude should be like, oh, there's so-and-so. Well, that doesn't surprise me. He's here worshiping God. He's always talking about God at work, talking about Jesus. Oh, so this is where he goes to church. Oh, well, I knew he had to go somewhere. This sure doesn't surprise me. See him in here, see her in here worshiping God. As opposed to them coming in, sitting down, we all stand up to sing, and they look over and see you worshiping God and go, what's he doing here? What is she doing here? What in the world? You know. No, it ought to just confirm, you know, what they already suspected. It's kind of like a lot of times Christians, we live in a way that people would never suspect we're a believer, you know. And I think sometimes it's on purpose. We go out in the world, we live in a way where people wouldn't suspect we're a believer. There's nothing that would tell. It's like the guy who came to church and he was leaving. He shook the pastor's hand and the pastor got him aside because he knew him. And he said, hey, man, he said, you know what? We really need to get you in the army of the Lord. The guy looked at him and he said, Pastor, he said, I am in the army of the Lord. He said, man, I'm saved and I am in the army of the Lord. And the pastor didn't want to embarrass him. He kind of whispered and he said, well, then how come I never see you except Christmas and Easter? And the guy looked at the pastor and he whispered back and he said, Pastor, I'm in the Secret Service. And I'm afraid that's what many Christians are like, amen? Remember the context of this verse. It's about people of youth. It's so common today for young people to live with loose morals, a vile tongue, and wallow in the filth of the world. But you know what? You get you a young person who is holy in all manner of conversation. They're an example of the believers in their everyday life. What a testimony it is. When young people choose to live holy and magnify their Savior, Jesus Christ. What a testimony when young people choose to live holy and magnify their Savior, Jesus Christ. They dare to be different. They're like, man, I'm going to dare to be different. I'm going to shine as a light for other people to see. There's another area, though, I want to cover, and it'll only take a minute. I'm not going to belabor this, but I want you to look at verse 12 and look at it with me. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. In what area? Well, in word, in conversation, that's your everyday life, your actions. But then what's the third area? He said, be an example in what? Charity. Now, that's love. So number three is if you want to be a role model, love fervently. You want to be a role model to those that you have influence over? Man, just love fervently. Paul told Timothy, be an example in charity, which is a synonym for love. You know, there's a big difference between love and lust. The world knows a lot about lust, but not a whole lot about love. And that's why Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lust. When a young person understands the difference between love and lust, they make an impact. There are two principles here that I want you to be wise to remember. Number one is this, in all things, love. That's the first thing. In all things, love. That's consistency. In everything you do, show forth love. Look at this verse, 1 Corinthians 16:14 on the screen. It says, let all your things be done with charity. Let all your things be done with charity. But then the second principle I want you to get is this. Not only in all things love, but number two, above all things love. That's priority. That's, in other words, that's the most important thing in your life is to love people and to love God. Look at this verse on the screen, Colossians 3:14. And above all these things, he said, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Remember 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, charity. The greatest of these is charity. Above all things, love. It's so easy to get puffed up and think we're a great Christian because we study the Bible. We've got all of our doctrinal T's crossed and our doctrinal I's dotted, which that's a good thing. But sometimes we think we're a great Christian because of how much Bible we know. We think we're a great Christian because we go to church, or, you know, because we teach a class or we sing in the choir or whatever it is that we do. And we kind of get the idea we're okay. None of those things mean anything at all if we don't love people and love God fervently. They don't mean a thing. Young people, listen to me right now, because really the focus, let no man despise thy youth. That's why I wanted you to hear from these five young men. Let no man despise thy youth. Young people, if you can learn at a young age that the real meaning of life is to love God and love people, if you can get that, you'll be light years ahead of most young people. You will lay a solid foundation for the rest of your life, and you will live a life without regrets. I want you to think about that. Young people don't get that. See, a lot of young people don't understand the true meaning of life is to love God and love people. They think the meaning of life is making money. The meaning of life is my car. The meaning of life is my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my job, being popular. They don't get it. But you find you a young person that gets that, they'll be light years ahead of most young people. Love God, love people. That's what it's all about. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are in the presence of Jesus Christ. You've died, you're in heaven. And they usher you into heaven's media room. And as you enter into your personal media room, you sit on a comfortable couch, and you're sitting there with these nice pillows. You can eat as much popcorn and candy you want and never gain weight. Amen? Amen. And you go in there, and guess what video you're going to watch? You're going to watch a video of your life. And you know what? The video, it's going to cut out. It's going to cut out all the moments of your life when you were disengaged and distracted by media technology, TV, internet, the web, cell phones, and all that. All those times when you're just distracted, detached, just kind of just what, you know, all that's cut out. And the only thing left on the video from your life that you're watching in heaven, the only thing left on the video are the moments when you were totally engaged with other people, loving them. And you were totally engaged with God, listening to Him, and loving Him. Everything else is cut out. How long would your video be? How long would your video be? So many times we get so caught up in these things that we forget the meaning of life is to love God and love people. Engage with God. Spend time with God. Love God. Spend time with people. Love people. Spend time where you're fully engaged with people, not distracted by your phone, distracted by your Facebook, distracted by the computer, distracted by the TV, distracted by this and that. You're engaged in loving people. That's what matters. He said, let no man despise thy youth, Timothy. You're a young man, but don't let anybody hold that against you. But there's a balance to that. There's a responsibility here, partner. Be an example of the believers in word, conversation, that's your lifestyle, and in charity, love. And at the bottom of your handout, it says, we need role models today that will exemplify these marvelous fruits. We need role models who will exemplify these marvelous fruits.